Tonight's shir is Le'ivan Nishmas Aryeh Shloima ben Moshe Yitzchak. There's a story which actually happened. The exact details we're going to change a tad, but the really happened. There was a builder, a developer who was developing a certain piece of land. He was building 100 houses, and he needed a contractor to build these houses. So he made up with him the price, how much he's going to charge for each house. And he said, but you know, anybody ever built houses, they know that there are deadlines. People are buying houses, they're renting apartments, they're planning to move out, planning to move in. Has to be a deadline. So they made up a deadline exactly when the houses will be finished being built by August 2010. Wonderful. And the developer said to the builder, okay, and if you're late, what's going to be? He says, you know what, I'll pay $1,000 per month. Wonderful, $1,000 per month per binyan, right? 100 houses. So he got right into it, and he was building, and he was building, and he was building. Comes August 10th, by August 2010, there were problems. There was a problem of, there was a lumber strike at the time. It was difficult getting the lumber and getting the workers. The binyan, the buildings ended up being delayed for a year. 12 months late. Now, if you make a cheshbon, if it's 100 houses, $1,000 a house, it's $100,000 a month. 12 months is $1.2 million. So when it came time to pay the developer said, okay, I have a $1.2 million credit over here because you were late. And he says, what are you talking about? So came to a dentaira. Not going to talk about, actually they didn't go to a dentaira, they went to a rav, and I don't want to talk about how the rav paskin, but essentially we're going to talk about how one should paskin the shaila. And in order to understand this, we have to start off with the Gemara on Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, and it begins in Bava Metzia. And the Gemara starts off as follows. Amar Rav Chama, Hayman Diyav Zuza Lechavri Lemezvin Lechamra Upasha. A man, he hired a worker, a shliach. He should please go to the fair and purchase wine. He gave him 1,000 zuz to purchase wine. The idea was he's going to bring it back. And at the fair, the wine was cheap. He's going to bring it back to their hometown. He's going to sell it at a profit, and they're going to split the profit. However, according to the shlichus, maybe he's paying the salary, maybe he's giving a chelik of the profit. As it was, pashim lo v'zoven. He was careless and he didn't buy what he was supposed to. So Rav Chama says, "Mishalom lekiyin the ka'ozel apervosa dezil shofet." Basically, he has to pay him according to the amount of money that should have been profited. He owes him the amount of money. So at this Amar Meimer, Amis l'shmaitz akemed Rav Zvid min ahardo. I said this over in front of Rav Zvid. Amar kikam Rav Chama hani mila biyayin stam avol biyayin ze loy miyemer demazvin lein hele. That's only true if there was a degree of reliance. That means if I told you, go buy wine, it doesn't make a difference if you're buying matuk, it makes a difference if you're buying cream pink. Buy me wine. So for sure, he's going to be able to buy wine. But if I told you, I only want Merlot. So who says when you're going to get there, there's going to be Merlot to buy. And therefore, there was no reliance, and therefore he's not responsible. Rav Ashi Amar, Afilo Yayin Stam, even he told him generally buy wine, he's also, Namilo, he's also part of my time. It was the reason, Asmachtehi. He was just having him rely, it was a reliance. The asmachta lo kanya. Now there is a machlokes rishonim, what the terminology asmachta comes from. Who was relying? Either it means I was relying on something and I had no business relying on it, and therefore when I made the agreement, I made a mistake. And we know if we make a mistake when we negotiate a deal, we can't be held responsible for the mistake that we made. Alternately, it means I didn't really mean it, I was just having you rely on me. Like they say in Eretz Yisrael, smoke, smoke, rely on me, but I didn't really mean that I'm going to obligate myself. Now, asmach loy kanya. The Gemara says, and asmach is not kanya. Now, parenthetically, you do have to understand, whenever we discuss the concept, isn't asmach loy kanya, which means, when I make a deal, and there's reason to believe that I didn't mean the deal that I said, you could only discuss asmachta being kanya if there was actually a kinyan which transpired. Meaning, we took a suda and made a Kabbalah's kinyan. Maybe we wrote a contract. Maybe there has to be some form of kinyan. Otherwise, it's dvarim ba'alma. Words are not kinya, generally speaking. There had to be some form of kinyan. What the form of kinyan is, it could be a shaila in the Rishonim, what the kinyan here was. There was some type of kinyan, And whatever the kinyan was, the argument is, yes, we made a kinyan, but it was only an asmachta. There was no, I didn't really mean it. What's the difference between this case and this that we learned? Im oiver v'loy evad ashalim b'metva. Person made up with his friend that if I, he has a field, and he needs his field plowed, planted, and harvested. So he makes up with him, fine, I'll do that for you. And I'm going to pay you, shlish revu amechts, whatever the deal should be. And he says, yeah, but what if you don't do the, what if you don't? If I don't do what I say, ashalim emeita, I'm going to pay you in full. I'll pay in full whatever the profits should have been, I'm going to pay you. So the Gemara answers, so you see, and it's and you're chayv to pay, it's a Mishnah. So the Gemara answers, hasam biyadoi, hachala biyadoi. Over there, he was perfectly capable of plowing the field, planting the field, and harvesting the field. So if he said he would do it and he didn't do it, he's responsible to pay. Over here, when I told you that I'm going to go buy the wine, even when I made up, Tosis explains, it's true that I was careless, I didn't buy the wine, but it wasn't clear that I'd be able to buy the wine at a profit. It's true, I said get any wine you want, but, you know, some prices fluctuate. Maybe I would have gone there, I would have found that the price of wine is the same thing as the price of wine over here. So there was no guarantees to begin with that I was actually, you would have actually turned a profit. But the basic concept of the Gemara, the distinction the Gemara makes is, when I make up with you that I'm going to pay you for carelessness or for whatever, for my lack of responsibility, if it's something that was I had complete control over, something which was under my ability, I was able to plow the field, plant the field, etc., such a situation, and I agree that I'm going to pay you, I am obligated, it's not considered an asmachta. But if it was something which was beyond my control, was out of reach, something I couldn't control, we're going to say that it's an asmachta, and it's not kanya, and I'm not responsible. Contrarily to this Gemara, there seems to be a Gemara which flies in direct contradiction to this Gemara. It's a Gemara in Sanhedrin on the Chof Dalud on the base. The Mishnah says, Elohim Apsul, these people are Pasul Eidos. And one of the Psule Eidos, Psule Eis the Rabbonon, is Mesachik Bikuvya. People who are basically gamblers. They gamble with dice. The Gemara talks about Mefricha Yoinim, perhaps they're pigeon racers. Right, but the bottom line is they're gamblers. A gambler is Pasul Eidos Midir Rabbonon. And the Gemara wants to know, why is he Pasul Eidos? Mesach Bekuvya, my God, what are you doing wrong? Yeah, what's the matter? Amar Avami Bar Chama, Rav Chama Bar Chama says, Mishum Dahavi Asmachta V'Asmachta Lo Kanya. When I made up with you, and we made, like Taisus says, we made some type of kinyan. We made a kinyan that I'm going to pay you if I get a 7 or 11 or snake size, whatever it should be, I'm going to pay you. Are you going to pay me? Or whatever the deal should be. So, the only reason I agreed was because I thought I was going to win. I should make a bet thinking I'm going to lose. Should you? Who would do such a crazy thing? So therefore, I didn't really mean it. And therefore, I don't have to pay you. And if I pay you, and you accept the money, you're a thief. And therefore, you're Pasul Eidos. Rav Ashi Omar, no. Rav Sheshes Omar. Konki I gavna, in such a situation of gambling, lava smachta. It's not considered an asmachta. Now she'll explain why in a moment. So why is he Pasul Eidos? Mishum de'keinu Isaac b'yeshuva shel olam. He doesn't contribute to society. People who don't contribute are not card-carrying members of society that contribute to society are assumed to be ne'er-do-wells and people you can't trust, and therefore the Chachamim passed them le'edos. And the Gemara says the nafkamina is, let's say, he has a day job, and at night he gambles. So he has a day job, he's used to be yeshiva shalom, he contributes to society, at night he's a gambler, he won't be possible le'edos. That's the sheet of Rav Sheshes. And this Gemara, Tosis wants to know, what's the pshat? Rashi says, what's the pshat that it's not considered an asmachta? Why isn't gambling an asmachta? Rashi says, "Hechi dami asmachta." Asmachta is if he said, "Im oiver v'loy eved." Okay, we're gonna in the case of when I make the deal that if I don't plow the field, I'm gonna have to pay. There's a case. There's two cases which we're gonna see on the Kuf Dalid. That one case is where I tell you I'm gonna pay you what the losses. One case I tell you I'm gonna give you 1,000 zuz. I'm gonna pay you $1 million. If I don't do it, I'll pay $1 million. So then we say, that's considered an asmachta. Another case is mashle shtora. Mashle shtora is an important case where I owe you $1,000 and the due date is January 1st and I come, okay, You come to me, you say, where's the money? I check my pocket. I have 500. 500? You need 1,000. It's due date. It's today. He says, you know what I'll do for you? You have a shtar, right? Now, let's give the shtar to a third party. I'm going to pay you $500 today. And if by February 1st, I pay you the other $500, I get back the shtar and I'm part of, I don't know, I get back the contract, I don't owe you any money. In the event that I don't pay you by February 1st, the third party can give you back the shtar and you'll be able to collect the full $1,000 all over again. So you'll end up with an extra $500. So over there, that's considered, the Gemara says, that's an asmachta. So these two cases are considered asmachta. Why are these cases considered asmachta? Rashi says, the soimich aloy dover. I was relying on nothing. The savor kolze biyodi lasois. I thought this is something within my control. I owe $500, you know. How hard is it to give me? I don't have it today, but in a month's time, I'm going to get all the $500, right? Or planting the field. Of course, over the course of the year, I'm going, why shouldn't I plant the field? So I thought I'm going to be able to do it. Turned out I miscalculated, and therefore, I never really intended to obligate myself. Whereas when I gamble, why in the world did I think that I'm going to be able to throw the dice and get a 7? What was I basing myself on? I was basing myself on Luft. I imagined it. So I'm something which was completely beyond my control, and I make a deal that I'm going to pay? Asmachta kanya. So it comes out from this Gemara, it's just the exact opposite of what we had before. Before we said, what you could control is considered is you obligate yourself. What you can't control, you don't obligate yourself. And here we're saying, what you could control, you do not obligate yourself. But what you cannot control, you do obligate yourself. So it's a complete, it's a perfect contradiction. So Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri each have an answer to this question. Rabbeinu Tam's answer is one way, the Ri's answer is a little bit different, and we're going to explain them. It's not that difficult. We're going to explain it very simply. Rabbeinu Tam's insight is he really believes in the Gemara over here in Sanhedrin that what you could control, you never meant to obligate yourself. What you can't, the Gemara in Bava Metzia. When you could control it, it's within your control, you obligate yourself, you have to pay. When you can't control yourself, when you can't control the situation, it's beyond your control, of course you never meant to obligate yourself. I'm in sugar, I should obligate myself, I can't control. By gambling, it's different. Why? Because by gambling, there's an upside and a downside. In the case of the field, all there is a downside. If I lose, if I don't plant the field, I'll pay you money. I only have to want to lose. Over here, by gambling, yeah, it's true, I might have to pay $1,000, but I gain $1,000. There's an upside and a downside. And I know the only way for me to capitalize and to cash in on the upside, if I'm willing to obligate myself on the downside. And therefore, since I want you to obligate yourself, I'm willing to obligate myself. It's a two-way deal, and that's why, even though it's something beyond my control, it's not considered nasnafta. That's Rabbeinu Tam's understanding. The Ri says a whole different shtickle Torah, which is the shita of the Rosh, and he says a very simple yisoid. There's to the right, to the left, and there's up the middle. That means like this, something which is completely beyond my control, what are you making an agreement? Obviously, you knew that you have no control over the situation. You're throwing the dice. You knew you have no control and you obligate yourself. You're obligated to pay. Something which you have complete control over, one second, time out. That case, when you obligate yourself, something completely beyond your control, even if it's something which is ludicrous, a ludicrous amount of money. You made a gamble, you put down $10,000, then you're gonna get a 7. Is there any reason you should pay him $10,000 if you get an 8? There's no reason for that. It's a complete guzma. It's a guzma. It's an exaggeration. Still, you have to pay. Something completely beyond your control. Something which is within your control. So then, that means like plowing the field. So why shouldn't I obligate myself? Of course, I meant those words, I said those words, and I obligated myself. Unless it's something which is a guzma. So in the case that we're going to see in the Gemara, if I say that I'm going to pay you the losses, I'm hyped to pay the losses. If I say I'm going to pay you $1,000,000, so that's me between just, that's just the way of talking. I never really meant it. So again, if it's completely beyond my control, I'm obligated. Something completely within my control, I'm obligated. Something which is somewhat within my control, it's beyond the and beyond. It's within my control, but not completely within my control. Like the case of the buying of the wine. Yeah, you could consider yourself reasonable that you're going to the market to buy the wine, and there should be wine available. And you made the agreement, but you knew in the back of your mind that it's possible the wine will not be available. In such a situation, you're not responsible. Accordingly, whether you understand like the Ri, to something which is partially biyada, partially not biyada, you're not responsible. It's an asnacht. Or you understand like you're in a time with something which is not, he just makes a blanket distinction between what you could control, what you can't control. But it is beyond your control. It's not completely within your control. You're going to be potter, it's an asnacht. So in this case of the builder with the contractor, the developer with the contractor, so it would seem he should not be responsible, even though he wrote a contract and he said, I'm going to pay $1,000 per month of being late per unit, and it should be $1.2 million. It's irrelevant because it's an asmachta. It was something which he understood. Anybody who ever built a house knows that deadlines come and deadlines go, and then they come, new deadlines come and new deadlines go. So therefore, it was understood. It was something beyond your control. It's an asmachta, and he's not responsible. However, those who are familiar with the goings of Shulchan Aruch and Dinei Choshen Mishpat in particular, Shulchan Aruch in general and Choshen Mishpat in particular, and Dinei Torah specifically, there's always another argument. And that argument is, there's a Ramah in Siman Reish Zayin. In Siman Reish Zayin, Sif Tes Vav, it says as follows, the Ramah says, V'yei Shoymin. I don't know if you have a Shulchan Aruch, I don't think I printed it. It says, there was a special case where, I'll tell you the case in a moment, exactly what really happened, but we'll see what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. If they gave a mashkin, they gave a mashkin about kinegidze b'mishmetei akum, with non-Jewish adjudicators, non-Jewish judges of sort. B'shtar HaSeyan, and they made a contract. The kanu, afilu be'asmachta, even though it's an asmachta, it's kana. Why? Mishum dina demalchusa dina. Because we have a concept called dina demalchusa dina. There are those people who learn this Ramah, and the Ramah says as follows. If you write a legally binding contract, which the courts would uphold, so don't tell me asmachta, shmashmachta, it's not negeya, it's legal, dina demalchusa dina, you're bound, signed, sealed, and delivered, you gotta pay. Okay. There are those that learn the Ramah this way. However, the Ramah didn't make this up himself. He's bringing it from a Rashba. So the Beis Yosef in Siman Reish Zayin Mechudesh Memvav brings a Rashba. And the story of the Rashba was as follows. There were two people who had an argument with each other. And they were arguing over tens of thousands of dollars, as it were. And finally they decided what they're going to do is they're going to take the dispute to arbiters. You know, the Jewish arbiters, non-Jewish arbiters, people who are in the business, to decide who's right and who's wrong. And they said, if somebody doesn't listen, and they gave a mashkin, they each gave a mashkin to these arbitrators. I think it may have even been Jewish arbiters, it was an umnin. He gave them a mashkin, and they told them, if you're going to make a ruling, now what's going to keep us honest, how are we going to keep, what's going to guarantee that we're going to do the ruling? Tell you what, we each gave a certain amount of money. So obviously the guy who wins gets back his money. And the guy who loses will also get back his money. But if he doesn't pay what he's supposed to, we're going to take that money and we're going to split it. Half of it is going to the other guy as payment for the deal. And in addition, the other half of the money is going to be going to the Binyan Ha'ir. It's going to go to the township. The township is getting it. So, of course, they came to the arbiters. The arbiters ruled in favor of one. It had to happen. And one guy lost, and he refused to fulfill his obligation. And he said, and you can't give over the money to the other guy, because it's an asmachta. So the Rashba says, no, it's not true. He's obligated for three reasons. The first reason is because since how the judges are going to rule is completely beyond your control. Completely beyond your control. There is shining that say, what you could control might not be an aspect, but something which you completely cannot control, that's not called an aspect. That's one shita, right? That's the reading. There's something you have no control over is not an aspect, number one. Number two, he says that you gave over a mashkin, and the half of the mashkin is certainly going to be given over to the township. And the township is not going to recognize the fact that, well, it was an asmachta, they don't go for this kind of thing. So when you obligated yourself, you made a kinyan. You could only view a kinyan, either the kinyan, you meant it or you didn't mean it. It can't be, I meant this half of the kinyan and that half of the kinyan I didn't mean. It's all or nothing. Either the whole thing works or the whole thing doesn't work. And since the part that you obligated yourself to the city is certainly going to be fulfilled and there's no way out of it, so we say that the obligation is a real obligation, and you have to pay the other guy also. And his third reason is, which is beyond the scope of today's lecture, is that he says since they wrote a shtar, and the shtar had a zman in it, and the zman is from now, and we have a concept called me'akshav, if the kinyan is happening here and now, so we're shining to say, kinyan me'akshav doesn't have a problem of asmachta. Then the Rashba asks, beautiful, wonderful, and very, very nice, that we have all kinds of holy reasons why it's not an asmachta, but where's the kinyan? Never made a kinyan. They said the words, where's the kinyan? Where's the kinyan? He says, the kinyan is because since they wrote a shtar, and the shtar has toikif al pi dina de malchusa, so dina de malchusa dina tells me that it's considered a kinyan. So now that I have a kinyan, I can get rid of the problem of asmachta for the other three reasons that I said. What comes out is what the Rashba is really saying is as follows. The shtar only helps you to create the vehicle through which we create a kinyan. Now that we have a kinyan, we have to decide, why is there no asmachta? Oh, we come up with one reason, two reasons, three reasons. But never did the Rashba say that the fact that I wrote a shtar and it has the strength of a din of the malchusa, that will get rid of the problem of asmachta. In the verse. Okay. And therefore, it would seem, again, at this point at least, there should be no problem of, there should be a problem of asmachta. He should not be responsible to pay the $1.2 million as the case was. Now, there's a Gemara. I'll get into another issue which runs back into this, but we'll try to move off a little bit. There's a Gemara in Bamitziah, I didn't give in the Mar Makoimis, where a person gave a rovoin. He was going to purchase a house, purchase a property. Costed property $100,000, and he put $300,000. He put down $50,000 as a mashkin. As an Eirovo in the Lashon HaGemara, and he told them as follows, if I back out, you can keep it. And he said, and what about you? And the seller said, and if I back out from the deal, I'll give you back double your money. I'll double your money. So the Gemara has a machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, if it's considered an asmachta, is asmachta kanya, asmachta zloy kanya. According to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yossi, we say asmachta is kanya, and therefore, if he backs out, he has to give him the $50,000, and if he backs out, he's got to pay him $100,000, or at least $100,000 of the property, whatever it should be. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, no such thing. Asmachta lo kanya, you don't get free money. There's no free lunch. Okay, maybe you'll get a piece of land worth the amount of money, but you know there's no free lunch. So, it's my simple young people purchase houses today, and they put down. In this case, why is it an asmachta? Okay, the reason it's an asmachta is because when I agreed to purchase the house, it was clearly my intention that I'm going to consummate the deal. It wasn't my intention to give you $50,000 as a gift. Why didn't I consummate the deal? I ran out of money. My wife decided she doesn't like the color of the house. I don't know. Something happened. Something came up beyond my control. So therefore, I'm backing out. Mamish beyond my control, so okay, it's fine, but for some reason I'm backing out. So, but the argument is, I only agreed to give the money because I thought for sure that I'm going to close on the deal. I didn't close on the deal, it's considered an asmachta. In this case, there is this happens all the time. People put down deposits, $50,000 deposits on houses, and then for whatever reason, they decide not to buy it. Do they get back their money? Don't they get back their money? Is the problem asmachta? It's not a problem asmachta. So in the simple, on the first level of understanding, you have to know that there is a machlokes between the Rambam and the Rosh. How do we paskin in the machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda? The Rambam paskins that, okay, let's start with the Rosh. The Rosh is the easier one. We know all over the place, asmachta lo kanya. This is a case of asmachta, the Gemara calls an asmachta, walks like an asmachta, talks like an asmachta, it's asmachta. And we have a general rule, asmachta lo kanya, zot tirash. Therefore, he gets back his money, goodbye and good luck. And that's how the Rama brings down, says asmachta, and he gets back his money. Comes along the Ram, and the Ram makes the following distinction. And that's why, probably why he holds Rabbi Yehuda is veering from the normal situation, where Rabbi Yossi is veering from the norm. Because over here, when we say asmachta is loikanya, that's when I'm obligating myself to pull money out of my pocket to pay you. I never meant to pull money out of my pocket to pay you. I never meant it. But that's an asmachta on his chayvas, an obligation. An asmachta on mechila, that I'll be moichel you the money. I gave you the money already. And I'll be moichel the money. Rambam says, mechila on asmachta, that does work. And therefore, the mechaber paskins, I give a deposit, a deposit on a house, and for some reason I back out of the house, and the deal was that if I back out, you could keep the deposit. By the way, if you didn't say that, then not to talk about it, it was just I gave you the deposit, okay, give it back to me. But if I said that it was what we would call a non-refundable deposit, if I back out, you lose the deposit, so then the Rambam would say he gets to keep the money. How do we paskin? So the Mechaber paskin is like the Rambam, so if you're a Sfardi, you're stuck. If you're an Ashkenazi, the Ramah paskin is like the Rosh, and you get your money back. If you have a deal between a Sfardi and an Ashkenazi, so then you have a stickler problem, right? So comes along the Pesach, yeah?
What about the other side? Even according to the Rambam, the guy said, I'll double your...
No, so right. That he's not going to get. The doubling, he's not going to get.
I have a star where you and our son, and if I don't
become
my time, I'm
okay. Your time. Absolutely. That's a problem. Perfect. Perfect. Any obligation which is a mutual obligation and only one is obligated and the other one's not, is not going to be binding. It would seem clear to me. Seems clear to me. The Rambam is not talking about the particular case in the Gemara. The Rambam is talking in a general way when a guy gave money and he said, if I back out, you can keep the money. And that's the case there in Machab is paskining, that you get to keep the money. I believe it's Sifyud, Simon Rej Zayin. Sifyud, O Yud Aleph. He says, Sifyud Aleph. Mm-hmm. Okay, no, so the Machab doesn't say it like that. We say he doesn't have to double it. Taka says, what's difficult? He doesn't have to double it, but if I back out, you get to keep the money. You have it's a good problem. Fair problem? Good. Excellent. So but the Mechaber paskins like the Rambam and the Rosh. However, the Pischei Tshuva brings down, as we mentioned in Dinei Torah, there's all kinds of things that you could pull. Even though it's a machlokes, the Mechaber and the Ramah, this is not really, here we're noig like this, here we're noig like this. When it comes to Chayshin Mishpat, there's a concept called whoever is muchzik could say kimli, I am of the opinion that the Rambam is right. So you could adopt the Sephardic position. If you're the muchzik on the money, whoever's in possession of the money, he could say, I hold like the Rambam, and therefore I have the right to retain the money. However, that doesn't mean that all is lost, because there could be many, many instances where it's not considered that you are muchzik on the money. Number one, first of all, if it was specifically, there was a mortgage contingency. So mortgage, I said specifically, if I get a mortgage, I don't get a mortgage. So since I depended the loss of money based on something specific, and that specific thing was not fulfilled, of course I'm going to get back the money. In addition, generally speaking, people give the deposit to an escrow account. They don't give it to the other party. If they gave it to the other party, they cook their own goose. But if they gave it to a lawyer's escrow account, that's not considered that the other party is muchzik on the money. Since he's not muchzik on the money, he would get his money back. Because, now, what I really wanted to get into, which is really the Gemara on Kuf Dalet, which I'm not going to get into. Everybody done Marv already, right? Could I take 4 minutes of your time? Okay, and here's the story. And if not, you can walk out and I won't be angry. Here's the story. Let's say he gave the deposit and he said, if I back out, you could keep $50,000. Why are you keeping $50,000? What did I do to you? Because I signed a piece of paper, I owe you $50,000? That really would seem to be what we call a guzma. We mentioned in the case of the Gemara, where I told you, if I agreed to plow the field, and plant the field, and harvest the field, and I don't do it, if I made up with you that I'm going to pay you whatever the losses are, I'm obligated to pay. But if I tell you I'm going to give you $1,000, why $1,000? It's not worth $1,000. So the Gemara says, that's the Gemara on Kuf Dalet, it's a guzma. And if it's a guzma, he doesn't mean to obligate himself. So even if you're holding around with your muhsik, it's mitzvah de asmachta, but it's a guzma, it's beyond, if it's an exaggeration, you're not obligated to pay. So here's the story. Let's say in this case, if I wrote that in the event that I back out, you could keep, I'm obligated to pay you your damages. and we will write liquidated damages at $50,000. And there's reason to believe that the damages are somewhat reasonable to say the damage at $50,000. Yes, he's entitled to take it because that reflects the actual damage. But let's say the damage is, I don't know, you paid for a survey, you paid for a lawyer, I don't know, you paid $10,000. And you gave him $50,000. Why are you taking $50,000? Based on what? So on that, it would come out, there's really a machlokes between the... So, seemingly, since you agreed to pay $50,000, you gave $50,000, but there's only losses of 10. So are you entitled to the $10,000 or not? Okay, fine, $50,000 you're not entitled to, that's a guzma. What about the $10,000? So on this, the Gemara, on Kuf Talid, the Rif says, well, you obligated yourself to give 1,000 zuz, and that's a guzma. But the actual damages of how you have to pay, because that's the Shalom B'Meitva. Zakti Rosh, what are you talking about? I don't know what he's talking about. The only reason, if you didn't make up anything that you're going to pay, the losses that you caused are a groma and your pata. The only reason you're obligated to pay is because you made an agreement. You made a kinyan. That kinyan was a guzma. You agreed to pay $50,000. You don't owe $50,000. Why should you be paying $10,000? That was not what you agreed to pay. So therefore the Rosh says, you wouldn't have to pay anything. And therefore you should get back the whole $50,000. Now, even so, like I said, there's always another day. The Rosh himself says that if the minig is, in the case of the plowing of the field, that you do get the damages, in spite of the fact you didn't say it, you're going to get the damages. In which case, since standard operating procedure, I do believe, is that when a guy backs out from a contract, he does have to pay for the losses that he caused to the other party, he would be obligated to pay, even like the Rosh, even though the kinyan per se was bottled.
Can you register and say I'm ignoring the smart stuff?